I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
That is the voice of new Cubs hitting coach Anthony Iaposi. In August, when the Rangers offense was surging, Iaposi is now the replacement for Chili Davis, just the latest on the wheel of Cubs hitting coaches. Here to tell us all about him is Levi Weaver. He's on the Rangers beat for The Athletic, and you can follow him on Twitter at 32EFIS. I love it. Levi, welcome to the Bernstein McKnight Show. Thanks for joining us.
Oh, of course. Happy to be here.
So what strikes you most, or struck you first, rather, about Anthony and his rise to a hitting coach in the major leagues, considering that he never played in the bigs? I mean, some with the Railcats here or nearby Gary, but not a guy who you would otherwise kind of pick as a history for getting to where he has.
Yeah, kind of a cool story that he made it as like you said, a big league hitting coach that never made it in the bigs. I think he was able to sort of overcome I think the biggest thing with coaches at the big league level is, are you going to be able to communicate with the players? And, you know, if you haven't played in the big leagues, are you a good enough communicator to make sense to the players that they're listening to you? Otherwise, there's really no point in, you know, even if you know everything about it, like, there's no point in having you around if the players aren't going to listen. And, I think it was less about his technical acumen, which was there. I mean, he was obviously good enough that he was a big league hitting coach, but I think it was more about his ability to connect with the players. And he was a lot of fun in a season that there weren't a whole lot of fun moments. I mean, the team is in a rebuild. It's a lot of young guys. It was more about development than the wins, losses. And man, Iaposi was always just yelling, and I mean that in a good way. Like, he would just walk into the room with this infectious enthusiasm, and he kind of kept people loose. He kept the players on their toes a little bit. I mean, there was one specific story I remember. We were in Boston, and at, you know, the little Fenway visitors clubhouse, and it was the World Cup, and there was like a team pool. So the coaches and players, you know, everybody had a team that they were rooting for or had been assigned, and I think his was England, and they needed a tie. I don't remember the exact circumstances, but for whatever reason, like, as it was headed to extra time, he didn't realize it was headed to extra time, so we're all just sitting there kind of casually watching this soccer game on a TV in the clubhouse, and he just runs through at the end of regulation just screaming, like, you hear him from, like, way back in the back, like, and it just gets louder, and he's just screaming, running through the clubhouse, and you hear him running all the way back to one of the other coaches' rooms, and you just hear the scream fade. Like, he was enthusiastic, and I think he's going to be a lot of fun on a very fun Cubs team.
It seems like this is a relationship move. I like the fact that your first response is an anecdote about his personality and his connection with the younger players. Because on the way out, Chili Davis, like, yep, these millennials, and next time I think I got to know the clubhouse and know the personalities in the clubhouse. The fact that you describe it as you do, I think it cements for me the understanding it isn't so much about tactics, isn't so much, and maybe there's a little bit of launch angle in there. Did he preach a specific style of hitting, or was he somebody who was just like, look, let me see your swing, talk to me about what you want to do, let's maximize what you do best?
That was the vibe that I got from him. I talked to him a couple of times. There was one time that Nomar Mazara had gone on a really hot streak, and I asked him, like, you know, everybody asking me, what's going on? And he said, you know, my hands are working really well right now. And everybody kind of nodded, went and wrote, my hands are working really well right now. And I went back and I'm like, hey, I'm kind of a baseball idiot. What does that mean when you say your hands are working well? And so he explained it to me. He said, you know, when I'm in my stance waiting, last year my hands were down kind of mid-helmet, but if I can get my hands up above my helmet, that puts me in a better position to swing. And so I went and talked to Iaposi about it, and he said, you know, yeah, it's some of it is a little bit of the feather in Dumbo's nose? Like, could Mazzara hit with his hands down around his shoulders? Yeah, like, he's a big league hitter. He could totally do that. But for him, like, he identified a thing that worked for him, and so that's what we're going to preach. Like, do the thing that works for you. And so, you know, for the launch angle guys, like, he's obviously not going to tell Jurickson Profar to go take the same tactic as Joey Gallo, right? Like, Joey Gallo, you go hit bombs. And if you strike out, that's fine. But your job is to go hit the ball as hard as you can, as frequently as you can. You know, Profar, we want you to hit for a higher average. You've got some power, but you can be a spray hitter. And so I think he was, as you said, a bit more of a personalized approach for each of the guys.
You know, his connections with Maley, a former Cubs hitting coach here, are pretty well known. He was a disciple of his, not literally, of course, but the former player of his, tutelage and that whole thing. What are his credentials? Like, what are the ways that he came up and around trying to teach major leaguers to maintain their swings?
You know what? That is a fantastic question that I should probably know the answer to, but I just don't.
Fair enough.
I don't know. I feel like that is something that I probably should have gone and learned. I think my interactions with Iaposi were always sort of in the here and now, like, hey, what's going on with Gallo's swing? Hey, what's going on with Mazzara's swing? Hey, why are you running through the house with a t-shirt tied around your head? Like, what's going on?
So, sure.
As far as, like, his you know, credentials and backstory, I know a little bit of it, but not enough that I'm probably going to provide a whole lot more insight for you guys.
How did some of the young players relate to him then? I mean, because we've got Chili Davis in leaving this job talking about millennials and getting used to conversing with a younger player. You've got guys on that Rangers team, Jurickson Profar is 25, Nomar Mazzara is 23 or 19. I mean, they, you got some young players there.
Right, yeah. I mean, it's a lot of young players. Even Ruben Odor, who seems like he's been around forever. He's
right.
Like 24. You know, we got Isaiah Kiner-Falefa and Ronald Guzman that came up this year that are rookies. Yeah, a lot of young guys. And I kind of got – I didn't ever really bring up the question, like, so what about this Iaposi guy? But you can just sort of – you can read people. You can watch the room. And I kind of felt like I got the vibe from them. You know, when teenagers are on vacation with their dad and he does a cannonball, they kind of look at each other and roll their eyes, but they're like, well, at least dad's still fun. You know, like, this could be worse. He's all right. I kind of got that vibe from them. Like, he's obviously not going to go out with them after the games. Like, he's not going to go on vacation with them to the club. Like, he's not there to be a peer or be one of the young guys. But as much as a, you know, guy who is, you know, probably closer to my age can relate to those guys, I think he did. It was sort of a good nature. They'd smile and kind of like point, like, man, Posey's at it again. Like, what's he doing? So they, and you could tell that they listened. You would talk to guys as they talked about fixing some aspect of their swing, and Iaposi and Mayshore both. I think they, it was interesting. The more interesting story for me was Mayshore, which I know this is not an interview about just Mayshore, but how he kind of had a reputation in the minor leagues of not being super well-liked, and then by the time he got to the big league level, there were a lot of guys that credited him with a lot of the swing adjustments that they made. So I think maybe Mayshore was more of the X's and O's guy, and I think Iaposi was probably more of a relational guy of, like, getting the making sure the conversation continued and making sure that adjustments were being made and making sure that that communication happened.
It's what it sounds like, comfort and environment. And I used the phrase when we were talking about Chili Davis before and talking about the how hitting coaches matter or not. For me, Levi, the process here is every really good major league hitter is his own hitting coach. It's a matter for guys who are 24, 25, 26 of learning how to become their own hitting coach. And maybe this is a way that Iaposi is a relationship psychological a shepherd for them in that process.
Absolutely. And it's not even just that they are their own hitting coach. It's, you know, I remember a conversation that I had with Delino DeShields where he talked about, you know, we all were constantly talking to each other about it. So I'm constantly picking Shinsu Chu's brain and Adrian Beltre's brain and even like Isaiah Kiner-Falefa's brain. Even though he's a rookie, he's very analytical. And I mean, these guys are constantly, it's not just the hitting coaches that are giving them input. Sometimes it's the veterans or it's another peer that goes, hey man, I saw something in your swing. how do you feel about this? So you're absolutely right. They are their own hitting coach, but there's an entire team of hitting coaches that, you know, some guys are more vocal than others. Some guys you have to approach and get them, you know, hey, what are you seeing? Tell me. But yeah, I mean, you're absolutely right. It's a lot about the psychology of the conversation.
What was Iaposi's current actual contractual situation? I know that he was he the Rangers hitting coach? Was he released to seek other job opportunities upon the firing of the manager? I'm just wondering, technically, what was done here? Did they need to ask permission? How did this work?
I believe they probably asked. So when we talked to John Daniels a couple of days after the season ended, we asked, like, so what's going on with the coaches? Like, they're basically in limbo right now. And he said that, you know, Justin Mayshore had been let go, but the rest of the coaches, he said, we're not going to, you know, keep them in purgatory. Like, they can, if they have other offers, they are free to take those other offers. We understand it wouldn't be fair for us to ask them to stick around until we make a decision. And then maybe the new manager wants to bring in his own guys. Maybe there's a whole new, you know, maybe there's a lot of turnover. We don't know. So he was the only hitting coach that was left, because Mayshore had officially, he was like the only coach that was officially let go. But yeah, I mean, all of the coaches, top to bottom, Doug Brookhill and Dan Worth and all those guys are free to pursue other employment while the Rangers are continuing their managerial search.
Leva, what kind of conversations went around with either with Iaposi or just with the Rangers in general, their hitters or their front office, about the response to launch angle, for lack of better, or just to use buzzwords, I guess? We're seeing a lot of high fastballs. Christian Yelich is getting a bunch of them in the NLCS. What kind of things were said about that response to a launch angle revolution within that organization?
Yeah, the adjustment to the adjustment, right? That is, again, a good question that I could probably make some educated guesses, but that's not a question that I specifically asked. It was interesting to me to observe the sort of launch angle guys. So Joey Gallo specifically was an interesting case study this year, because he was still, he's still going to be Joey Gallo. Like, he's still going to swing for the fences, but you would see these, for him, I think the adjustment was less the high fastball and more the, like, we're going to just stick 9-1 in right field and dare you to hit it there. And seeing those adjustments, and it was for guys like Gallo, who their whole life they've just been the guy who stands up there and hits the ball over the fence and, like, just mashers. And now they're getting ridiculous shifts and watching him try to make an adjustment that he had never made before. So, you know, the big thing for him was, hey, why don't you bunt? He's like, well, because I never have in my whole life. And it looks easy, but it's not. Mm-hmm. It's not easy when you've got Verlander up there throwing 98 with cut and you're trying to do something that you've never, ever done before. It's trickier than it looks. And so I know that I did actually have a conversation with Iaposi. He was like, yeah, we're working on it, but he's just not there yet. So I think there have been adjustments made to the, you know, it's always a game of adjustments and counter adjustments. I think these adjustments are happening. But as far as, like, specifically the adjustment to the uptick in high fastballs, that's not actually a conversation that I really ever had.
Where is he on just overall amount of work? I know sometimes Joe Maddon, when he's really being honest, he says he thinks that young players hit too much. There's too much time in the cage that sometimes they don't really allow themselves to breathe athletically enough. And there are some hitting coaches that only feel comfortable when they're doing flips, or they only feel comfortable when they see a guy hitting off a tee into a net. It's always got to be something. You know, it came up with Chris Bryant, a guy who grew up in a cage. His father's a hitting coach. Mm-hmm. And Joe Maddon's like, you know, sometimes you got to give it a rest. Don't show up at the ballpark or he'll cancel BP. Is Iaposi a guy who you always see in a cage, around a cage, or is some of this just an understanding of diminishing returns?
No, in fact, I feel like I saw him more sitting at lockers and having conversations with guys than I did in the cage. And the Rangers cage is, like, hidden, so I wouldn't have actually seen him in the cage, but I saw him enough, like, sitting at lockers in the clubhouse, just having conversations, just shooting the breeze with guys, you know, sometimes talking about hitting, sometimes not. And as I said earlier, so just building those relationships. I think he absolutely fits that mindset of the, you know, don't overwork yourself. Don't burn out. Don't grind out. Like, take some time to let your body process what you're learning.
Sounds really good. Levi, we appreciate it. That's some outstanding insight, and we appreciate you taking the time to join us.
Well, thanks. Sorry about the two questions. I was like, I don't know. Great question. I don't know.
No worries. No apologies needed. Thanks.
All right. Good to talk to you guys. Take care.
That is Levi Weaver. That was some next level stuff.
No, I mean, that's a relationship guy. You know, that's the understanding here. And that's when the hire got made and I read a little bit about it. It seemed to me that that's a guy that fit criteria of knowing the young hitters, the five or six guys that they'd really like to see take the next step of development that didn't last year.
Comfort hire.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.